Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
I want to start our teaching today by reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 115, verse 16. It says, "The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men." I'll also quickly make another reference to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. When God created the man, there was a statement he made to that man. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now, the reason why I read these scriptures is to bring out in some very important points which we need to know as human beings and as children of God on this earth. Now, what I want to start talking about today is what I have titled Generating Spiritual Energy for the Redemption of a Nation. I know the title sounds long, but it's just very appropriate because it will help me to explain a number of points that we should all bear in mind in our daily walk. First, let me explain this. We must take responsibility for the state of our nation. The state of every nation is not dependent upon just chance or some genetic inheritance that some people have. Like some people will think that, like somebody said when I was in school, is there a problem with the black man? He asked me, he said, maybe there's a black complexion is probably the mark that God put upon Cain when he killed Abel. But we know that that is not possibly true because every descendant of Cain was eradicated in the flood, remaining only Noah and his descendants. Now, this is the point I'm trying to make here. We have to take responsibility for the state of our nation. The situation of a nation actually is a reflection of the situation of the hearts of the people that are dwelling in. Most of us treat the affairs of a country, the affairs of a state, the affairs of a local government, we treat it as if it's a matter of them, that is the government, the people. When you ask them, who is they? They don't know who those them people are. They don't know. Because you will realize that 10 years ago, the government there is different from the government that is there today. So if the situation has not really changed much, that you tell you that it's not just a matter of the government or certain groups of people that we do not know, but there is something that is constant all this while in this nation as an example, and those are the people that are living therein. There's a number of scriptures I want to give. In fact, the first two that we read is to point out something to us. God says something clearly, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, and the earth he has given to the sons of men. Some of us sometimes we like to believe that the devil is in charge. That's why things are bad. And let me tell you today categorically, the devil is not in charge. People have said that it is because Adam sold away to the devil. Then the countries that our Nigerians are trying to run to, is it that those countries were not sold to the devil also? The truth is that the devil is not in charge. It is the people that God has placed on the earth that are in charge. That's why we read from Psalm 115 verse 16. It says, "The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men." What that means is that what the earth we experience will be dependent upon what the sons of men do about the earth. And the number of scriptures I would like to just refer to. One of them is Haggai chapter 1 verse 10. You will see there God was explaining there was a famine in the land. And he said to them that it's because of you that the heavens has withheld rain. Now when you go to Leviticus chapter 18, God said there's a principle there. That sometimes you see calamities come upon people. You see natural disasters, what we call acts of God, hurricanes, cyclones, you know, earthquakes and stuff like that begin to happen. Tsunamis are generated and they kill hundreds of thousands of people. He said, when you see those things, what is really happening is that the land upon which those people were living had become defiled. If you read verse 25 of Leviticus chapter 18, and the land is now spewing out its inhabitants. Now, what was the reason why this began to happen? If you read in preceding verses before that 25, it said that the people committed abominations. And this was a warning he was giving to his people when they were stepping into the promised land. He said, if you commit the same abominations that these people committed, you will discover that you will also suffer the same consequences. Because abominations are like spiritual poison. If people indulge in them, it affects what they do. It affects the land upon which they live. It affects the sky that's over their head. Just like I refer to just now, Haggai chapter 1, verse 10, God told them, it is because of your deeds that the earth withheld its rain. And in Leviticus chapter 18, he said, the land began to spew out its inhabitants because of their deeds. Now, if it's the same thing is God told Adam directly in Genesis chapter 3, he said, cursed is the earth because of you. Listen to this. Everything the land experiences, it's because of the people that are upon it. Now, the reason why I'm saying this, like I said, I'm talking about generating spiritual forces for the redemption of a nation. I want to be very, very realistic and up to date in what is going on, because we live in a country in this season where people begin to say things like, what's going to happen in 2007? What is the progress of our nation? There are people who, every time they want to deliver, they have to go abroad so as to supposedly give their children an opportunity, because you want your child to have a foreign passport. Somebody was telling me the other day that just like Nigerians run to America to go and deliver, so do people in Europe go to America to go and deliver so that their children also can have what they believe is another opportunity in life. But what I want to bring out is this. The reason why we do things like this are because of the uncertainties. You know, you want to have varying choices, because we believe that, okay, maybe Nigeria will become unstable. The country will not be stable. You know, maybe they said that 2007 is coming. What do you expect? I've heard people who supposedly are informed tell me that, there is no way that the country will not break down. Let me say this to you. The thing that keeps a country together is not a matter of chance. And the thing that breaks a country apart is not because somebody desires just for it to break apart. Life is lived. This is the way life is. In life, this appears as if many forces are working, and it's the one that becomes dominant that causes the effects that are upon the earth. And that's why I'm talking about generating spiritual forces for the redemption of a nation. Listen to this. Even though God has planned destruction for a nation, it is possible for the people therein to generate enough spiritual force to overturn that plan of God for destruction. The basic reason is because God is very merciful. And every time we have come to understand from the scriptures, every time that God wants to pour forth judgment, he always says, it is because I did not find a reason not to pour forth judgment. If you read from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, in verse 30, he said, I searched for a man among them who will build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I will not destroy it, but I found none. God now said, thus I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Now this tells us something. God did not want to pour forth his indignation. He did not want to pour forth his wrath upon the people. So the first thing he did was to look for a reason not to do it. He was looking for somebody who has enough spiritual capacity within himself to generate the spiritual force that will withhold the hand of God from destruction. I'm explaining this point so that we recognize our responsibility in life. Listen, if a nation is going to be redeemed, it will not just become redeemed by chance. It has to be as a result of decisions made by the people that are living in there. And another very biblical example is the story of Nineveh. God sent Jonah to Nineveh. He said, go and tell them that 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The king gave a proclamation, and the people in the land began to fast and pray and ask for God for forgiveness of their sins. And as a result of that, 40 days came and it passed, and nothing happened to Nineveh. It was not because Jonah was a false prophet. It was not because God suddenly changed his mind for nothing, but because the people in there did some things that generated the spiritual forces to bring about redemption for their land. And that's the point I want us to understand. Listen, even Isaac Newton has said it in Newton's first law of motion. He said, every object continues in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line, except an external force acting upon it compels it to do otherwise. This is the point I'm trying to make. If we all allow our country to go in the direction of destruction without doing anything about it, we will be destroyed. Our children will be destroyed. The good that we want for the land will not come to us. But the point we should note is that there is enough power in the people that dwell on the land to generate the spiritual forces necessary to cause prosperity and stability to be established in that land. Listen, there is no guarantee in any country in the world. while you will know what will befall a country is to observe the kind of people that are in there, what they are doing. If there are people that legalize abominations, then know that it's a matter of time. That country will begin to suffer the judgment of God. The people will begin to suffer the judgment of God. And if you see people that are repenting, I don't mean just going to church, because a lot of times people try to explain that Nigeria is full of churches. How come people are not much better? Now, the truth is that it is not the number of people that go to church that counts. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. When Daniel was making a difference in the land of Babylon, he never went to the temple, because the temple was far away from him. Listen, I'm not saying church going is not good. I go to church. In fact, the Bible tells us that we should not forsake the gathering together of one another. But I'm bringing out a point here, that what made the difference in the life of Daniel was not that he went to church, but that in his personal life, he had a constant communion with God, and his works were judged to be righteous. When even the people of the land, the EFCC of those days and the ICPC of Babylon investigated Daniel, the Bible said that there was no corruption or negligence in the affairs of the king that could be charged against this man. The point I'm making here is this. So sometimes we say that, oh, the country is full of churches. Many people go to church on Sundays, but that is not the issue. And that is why I thank God for the opportunity to bring this word of God to your homes, because what really counts is what we are doing in our individual lives. Listen, there's something that we do. Again, let me correct everybody who's listening to me. We sit down and buy a newspaper and we abuse everybody. We sit down and discuss, watch the news, and we judge our country that, oh, this country is useless. These politicians are hopeless. These legislators don't know anything. In fact, everybody in this country appears to be crazy apart from me. You understand my point? Me that is analyzing the situation. We look at it as if nothing good. Now, this is what I want to understand. That especially when you get to positions of authority, the forces in the lives of the people that you are governing has a lot to do with your ability to govern properly. In fact, there's a point I want you to understand. The people never get a leader better than they deserve. You see, it is very easy for the rest of us to sit down in our homes and criticize people that are in the open. You criticize somebody who has embezzled 10 million naira because you do not realize that you are a worse embezzler. The problem is that nobody has committed 10 million naira into your hand, so you have not yet embezzled it. Please, I'm bringing out a point here, that what will actually redeem a nation are the things that we do individually. When we have done the right things, God will use the forces generated by our actions, the forces generated from our spirits and our hearts, and those things will drive evil away from our land and bring good towards it. Now, this thing I'm saying is very important. We have a personal responsibility. Each one of us has something to do to make sure that good comes upon the land. You know, the other day I was preaching, I explained to the people, I said, listen, there is a reason why people like me love to live in Nigeria. It is not because I love our potholes or I love the fact that the power is not constant. That's not the reason. I am not a pervert. I do not enjoy pain. I do not enjoy displeasure. In fact, the Bible only says that I should endure it. But I have recognized a point that worse than brain drain in any nation is spiritual drain. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. God always requires a reason to bless a people. God always requires a reason to preserve a nation. And the reason is not their geographical location. The reason is not the beauty of the environment. The reason is not the kind of thing that is growing in there. Because we know one thing for sure. When God was going to destroy the people that he destroyed so that the children of Israel could move into the promised land, we know that their land was flowing with milk and with honey. I'm bringing out a point here, that the fact that your land is rich does not guarantee that God will not destroy it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But what does God look out for in any nation? What actually God looks for are the people that are in there. That is the kind of human beings that they are. I will refer to a story in the scriptures for all of us to understand. If you read in Genesis chapter 18, you remember the story of when God was on his way. He came down to earth to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he met Abraham. And he said, I shouldn't hide what I want to do from my friend Abraham. And then Abraham began to pray for the land. He said, God, if you find 50 people, will you still destroy it? He said, if you find 20. And they walked all the way down to 10. And God said, if I find 10 righteous people in that land, I will not destroy the land. Please notice something. God was going to spare the land because of the righteous people. God was not going to spare the land because of his natural resources. God was not going to spare the land because of the geographical location. He was going to spare the land because of a certain number of righteous people that he will find in there. Now, there's something that I noticed in there. What God was actually demonstrating to Abraham was that I am not stupid, my friend. I recognize one thing. If there were 10 righteous people in that land, I would not even have left my throne to come down and destroy them. So he explains to Abraham, in effect, that I'm doing what I am doing because I have recognized that they are a people irredeemable. Now, please, this is what I'm going to make. When we are in a nation, what we decide whether we will become blessed or we will remain in poverty or go further into destruction is the kind of people that are dwelling in that land. There is something that Satan sells to people, and he only uses that to keep them further in bondage. And this is the point. When a man is in trouble, a lot of times when he's trying to come out of his trouble, he does things that only send him further into trouble. Let me explain. A man might be free, but he's hungry. A man might be free and he's poor, but he's still free. Then Satan now comes and says, can't you see that everything is rough? Can't you see that your boss is a useless man? Can't you see that the nation is bad? Why are you holding to your integrity? Just like the wife of Job said to him. And the man will now say, that is true. Righteousness does not pay. So the man puts forth his hand to iniquity and he is caught. Because he was stealing, they now send him to jail. He goes into jail, he's still hungry. He goes into jail, he becomes sick. He goes into jail, but there's something in all of this, he's no longer free. Before, at least he was free, but now he's no longer free. This is what I'm going to make. That when Satan sells you a deliverance from your trouble, watch it, he's about to send you into further trouble. But God says when there is trouble, there is a proper way for coming out of trouble. It is said like this. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. This is the point I wanted to note here. God said, it is not that the man will say, I am hungry, therefore I should start stealing. He said, rather, the man should recognize that what he needs to do is to humble himself, pray, seek the face of the Lord and turn from his wicked ways. He said, then God will hear from heaven and he will forgive his sin and he will heal his land. Now, this thing is very important. I feel so strongly about it because with God, nations are important. You will see God will tell you that God has redeemed men from every nation. That is, for God, he counts the nations of the earth. Nigeria is an important nation. And within Nigeria, there are so many nations. And God has never delighted in the destruction of anybody. But he says, if I don't find a good reason not to destroy them, I will have to destroy them. He said, but there is a way by which people will ensure that destruction does not come to them. There is a way by which people who are already in troubles will ensure that they come out of their troubles. He said, this is the principle. They will humble themselves. They will seek the face of the Lord. They will pray and turn from their wicked ways, and God will heal their land. I'm explaining something here, that what we have done, most of us, is to sit down and criticize, as if criticism will bring forth something. Most of us who are criticizing, nobody is listening to us. Most of us who are criticizing are probably worse than the people that we are criticizing. And we think that something, one miracle will suddenly happen and great things will come upon the land. Let me tell you, there is a call from the throne of God at this point for people to take up their responsibilities and recognize that they are as responsible for the troubles of a nation as a man who was a leader when troubles began. Let me say that again. Every one of us is as responsible for the troubles of the nation as the one who was the leader from whose hand the troubles came. Because it's so important we understand this. Because what men do a lot of times is what Elihu described in the book of Job, chapter 35. Elihu explained to Job like this. In verse 9, it says, because of the multitude of oppressions they cry out, they cry for help because of the arm of the mighty. He said, but no one says, where is God my maker? Who gives songs in the night? Who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens?
Verse 12 says, there they cry out, but he does not answer, because this is a matter of pride in the heart of evil men. Please, I want you to understand this. God called it in verse 13 an empty cry. He said, I will not regard it. This is so important, because what most people do is feel as if the reason why they are suffering is because somebody made the nation a problem. Let me tell you something. I said something earlier, and I'm sure you have heard it from different places before. It's not original with me. I heard it from other places too. That they say if people get the kind of leader that they deserve. Listen, in every nation on the earth, there are good people and there are bad people. If you go to the United States of America, there are crooks. There are mafia men. There are murderers. There are thieves all over the place. Corrupt men are there. Any country you go to in life, there are problem people. And in every country, there are good people. In every nation, there will be one person who can turn that the situation of that nation around. Solomon said at a point that it is possible, in Ecclesiastes, he said it is possible for a nation to be in a problem and there is a wise man there and nobody listens to him. And that wise man may have been able to deliver them from their problems. But for certain reasons, people do not listen to them. That tells you something, that you can have good leaders in a land and nobody will appoint them to office. Now, the thing that decides whether a good man will be appointed to office or will not be appointed to office is strictly a matter of the kind of spiritual forces being emanated from the hearts of the people that are living there. Do you get my point? When God is ready to deliver a land, what he does is to send to them a champion and a savior, and then he will deliver them. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, if they don't get a champion, if they don't get a savior that will deliver them from their economic problems, that will deliver them from their political problems, that will cause quietness to come upon their land, it is not because the people are generally, or that there's no good man there, it is because God is not yet set to deliver them. Do you understand the point I'm making? I'm trying to be very practical about our nation, because it's so easy for everybody to sit down and be criticizing what is going to happen next. This country is useless. Listen to me. What we need to do is to take up our responsibilities and begin to do the things that are necessary for the turning around of a nation. Now, it should not be right if I end without explaining how this should be done. Do you understand what I want to say? That we just have, what I've tried to do so far is to explain the importance of it. I've tried to lay a foundation that we should know that what will happen to this nation is dependent on all of us that live in there. But there's another point I should quickly make before I begin to talk about how we are supposed to go about this. And the point is this. Sometimes people look and say, maybe it's only me. What can I do out of hundreds of thousands? What can few people like me do out of millions of people that there are in? Please remember this. In Sodom and Gomorrah, God said, I required only 10 people. Do you understand my point? All right? So whatever it is, you realize that for God, he does not really expect, listen to this, every single individual in the nation to do these things that I'm saying. He expects some crucial people, the people that the Bible referred to as the prophets of God. Now, let me explain what I mean by the prophets of God. I don't mean the man who's just prophesying. I mean the man who God is shaping the events of a nation around. Listen to what I'm saying. In every nation, there are people that are important. Now, I don't mean the man you have read about in the newspapers, but I will explain this further, beginning from now in this series of teachings. There are people who have made themselves important with God. You know, I wrote a tract, and if you visit our website, you will be able to download it and read it for free. It is titled, Are We All Equal Before God? It's a very important question. Are we all equal before God? The simple answer is no, we are not all equal before God. The truth is that we are all potentially equal, but in reality, as a result of the way by which we walk in life, one man differs from another person. So God says, amongst my own people, that's why he said, if my people that are called by my name, those are the people that are outstanding in the eyes of God, if they will check their ways and then pray, God will for their sake redeem a land. What am I trying to say? That you see, not everybody will listen to what I'm trying to say. Some people will hear it and probably laugh. But this voice is going out for those who we understand. That listen, your redemption is not in running to a better place. Your redemption is in generating from your heart the forces necessary to redeem your nation. God said to the children of Israel, he said that when I planted in Babylon, this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to pray for the prosperity of that land, because in their prosperity, you will prosper. There are people who have tried to run to one country or the other, but God has looked at their heart and said, this man is essentially a righteous man. This girl is essentially one of my people. So God has frustrated your motions. Now, this is why God is doing it. He said, you are one of the 10 that will save Sodom and Gomorrah. You are one of the people that will save your nation, Nigeria. Therefore, I do not want you to participate in spiritual brain drain. Do you get my point? And I said, okay, so what has been happening to you? You have not been prospering in everything that you have been doing. God said, listen, I am not in a hurry. I have given you enough food to eat. I have given you clothes. I have given you a house. I have given you the basic necessities of life. But I want your progress. I want your prosperity to become a reflection of your participation spiritually in the progress of your nation. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Many of us who are what the Bible calls the prophets of God. Please, let me say it again. I don't mean the preachers of God. I mean the righteous people, people who are called by the name of God. God is saying the problem you have had in your business, the problem you have had in your work, the problem you have had in your family, they have been reflections of the fact that you have not been participating positively in the redemption of your nation. Do you get my point? What I mean is that you have been speaking negatively like everybody else. You have been bringing negative forces into the situations of the country. Therefore, this country has not prospered as much as it should according to the area that is dependent upon you. Do you understand my point? God said, therefore, I cannot pour that level of prosperity that you expect into your own home. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? Now, so for such people, therefore, what is God saying? There are things you need to do as you begin to pray for your nation, as you begin to generate spiritual forces for the redemption of people that are even more than you, as you begin to do the things that are required to set the proper spiritual foundation for an explosion of stability and prosperity in this nation, then I will cause you to prosper in everything that you do. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because listen, life, I told you earlier, is a reward. In life, what you get, listen, is a reward for the right things that you do. But you see, most of us don't understand that spiritual things control physical things. That is, if God says, I have planted this man here to pray for the judiciary in Nigeria, as long as that man is running up and down. Now, when I say pray, now, not just pray the kind of prayers we do. You know, you spend all night praying for stability in the nation. The next morning, you make preparations in case it is not stable. That's not the kind of thing I'm talking about. I'm talking about a committed prayer in which in your bedroom you design plans to make judiciary more effective in the country. And the Bible says that the birds of the air can carry those plans that you made in your bedroom to the ears of a ruler. When you are exercising like this in your heart, God begins to bless your practice. God begins to bless your work. That is what is called the prayer with reward. Now, I'm the one that gave it that name, really. You may not see the name anywhere. What do I mean by the prayer with reward? God said to people, when Jesus was speaking, he said, you see the Pharisees, they go and pray openly. He said, see, they have their reward. But you go into your closet, and then your heavenly Father that sees in secret will reward you openly. Please notice something there. That prayer is not a prayer of give me. Because if it was a prayer of give me, what you get is an answer, not reward. What Jesus was saying is that when you pray for the redemption of a nation, when you pray for the redemption of a problem, when you pray for somebody else's life who is not even looking to you for an answer, then God gives you a reward because you have taken something beyond you upon you. Do you get what I'm going to say? That is, you have cooperated with God to bring certain issues into life. Now, please, before I close, let me quickly bring out 3 points which we'll begin to develop from next time on how to generate the spiritual forces for the redemption of your nation. Number one, very, very importantly, is that you must begin to live a righteous life. Number two, you will offer a persistent and expectant prayer to God concerning this nation. That is what the Bible calls the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. And number three, you will commence a positive use of your mouth in declaring good and prophesying prosperity upon the land. When you do this, what you are doing is that you are generating spiritual forces for the redemption of a land. Do you understand the point I'm making? Now, when you have done all of this, goodness and mercy will not only follow the land, it will follow you that's generating those forces. Let me explain something to you. For you to prosper in life, for you to guarantee a future for your children is not to get them a foreign passport. What you need to do is to sow the right seeds. You've heard me say this. The right spiritual seeds. And that will guarantee a bright future for you. It will guarantee a bright future, especially for your descendants. Do you get my point? The Bible says, mark the righteous man that his seed will be mighty upon the earth.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.